Are you ready to hear business stories and learn effective ways to build relationships, generate sales, and level up your business from awesome CEOs, entrepreneurs, and founders without listening to a long, long, long interview? If so, you've come to the right place. Gresh values your time and is ready to share with you the valuable info you're in search of. This is the I Am CEO Podcast.
Hello, hello, hello. This is Gresh from the I Am CEO Podcast. I have a very special guest back on the show today. I have Alexandria Draskowski. Alexandria, it's great to have you on the show.
Hi, thank you so much for having me back. It was so fun last time, so I'm excited to be here again.
Yes, absolutely excited as well. And I'm looking forward to talking about all the awesome things you've been working on. But of course, before we jumped into that, I wanted to read a little bit more about Alexandria so you can hear about some of those awesome things. Alexandria is the food blogger behind The Foreign Fork, a project where she is cooking a meal from every country in the world. After backpacking to 15 countries in Europe and taking cooking classes in each one, Alexandria decides to take her project of cooking around the world home with her. She started her blog in 2018 and to date has cooked over 400 recipes from over 95 countries. The Foreign Fork has been featured in BuzzFeed, The Detroit News, and Elite Daily, and is the recipient of the Sevier Blog Award for Most Groundbreaking Voice. Most importantly, Alexandria is proud to have helped over 5 million readers across the world put some culture in their kitchen. Alexandria, are you ready to speak to the IMCO community?
I definitely am.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. Hopefully I didn't butcher that blog award too bad. They practiced it so many times, but I feel like it just didn't flow out the way that I wanted it to.
No, you did great. You did great.
Perfect, perfect, perfect. What I wanted to do to kick everything off was rewind the clock here a little bit more on what you've been working on, what you've been doing since we last spoke, and a little bit more of your CEO story.
Yes. So just a little recap. I have a food blog called The Foreign Fork, where I'm cooking a meal from every country in the world. So I have been cooking through all of the countries since we last spoke in 2022. I've still continued on that journey. I believe last time we spoke, I was also doing recipe development for food bloggers and other brands as well. I still do that too, although I have tried to take more of a focus on building the content side of my business. So while I still do those things, this year my focus has been even more so on building my website, building my social medias and things like that. Yeah, it's been a great journey so far and since we last talked.
Nice. I absolutely love that. And just especially hearing your journey. If you, of course, want to check out the previous podcast, it's episode number 1451 of the podcast. And Alexandria is doing so many phenomenal things. And I think what I really loved is I always say it's really cool to hear, you know, what you do. And of course, that's, you know, very important, but it's even more important to hear the why that you do. So I love kind of hearing your story about what led you to do all those awesome things and how you've been progressing from there.
Thank you. Yes, the why is definitely a huge part for every business, but I feel like for mine, it is so integrated into the content that I'm posting every single day. I just loved traveling and learning about different people and different cultures around the world and feeling connected to people through food. And so wanting to bring that home with me and wanting to bring that into the homes of other people, it is such an integral part of my business's mission to cook foods from around the world and share their stories and make sure that those stories are touching other people in the same way that they touched me back in 2018 when I started the blog too. So I'm glad that the why was prevalent to you because it's definitely a big part of the business.
Yeah, absolutely. And I just love like even going through the site and everything and seeing, of course, that you can pop in, I think, in your ingredients if you have specific ingredients, but you can also drill down and see like the backstory behind the things that you're cooking and the things that can be created. And I think, like you said, I think even in an interview that as much as it's great to hear about the things that are created, how to create them, it's probably even more important to hear the things on the back end and the stories behind that too.
Yes, definitely. It's very fun for me to be researching the back end of all of the recipes as well. That is something that I've actually, for a lot of bloggers that are posting food from just in general, just posting food on their website, that is not something that they dig into very much is the history behind the food. And so when you talk to some SEO experts or things like that about the content on my website, one section that they say, is this really necessary, the history of the food? And I'm like, for most people, it's not. But for my site, it is very necessary to have that history of the food on there because it's the whole point about why I'm doing that. And I feel very passionately about that the history of food is a really integral part of enjoying it.
Yeah, absolutely. And do you find from a lot of readers and people that visit your site that they, I don't know if you have that exact same experience, but you almost feel like, especially around, I imagine around COVID time and when people weren't able to travel, just to get that little taste, I guess, for lack of a better term, and pun intended, of the culture, the history of things that happened in different parts of the world was something that kind of brought that to your kitchen or to wherever you end up eating it from.
Yes, definitely. For COVID, that was when I coined my tagline, put some culture in your kitchen, because that was something that I'd always loved to do, was to travel and learn about other cultures and other places. And during COVID, that was not possible. So using the blog as a way to bring the world to me when I couldn't go to the world, bring the world to my readers when they couldn't go out into the world, was something that was really exciting. And because of that, I actually, in addition to the website, since we've last talked, I also published a cookbook called Culture for Your Kitchen. And that was another way that I tried to solve that problem of people being so, they weren't able to go out into the world, and I wanted to help solve that problem in other ways too. So I made a cookbook for that reason, to help bring some culture to their kitchen. And that's the name of it, as well as Culture for Your Kitchen.
Nice. I absolutely love that. And yeah, I was going to actually ask you about that, because I was watching or looking at your Instagram and just hearing your story and your journey and how that kind of came to fruition in this cookbook, and another way that you're able to connect and serve your clients is absolutely awesome.
Thank you so much. It was a lot of fun, a lot of work to make that cookbook, but it was a lot of fun as well.
Yeah. How long did it take you from, I guess, inception of the idea to actually getting that published?
I actually did it a lot quicker than most people do it. I self-published the cookbook, and nice. I went on a blogging retreat with some fellow bloggers where we do it every year. So she walked us through her process at the end of September of how she made her cookbook, and it inspired me so much that I came home, and in a month I had tested, photographed, and written 30 recipes from around the world. I wanted to get it out by Christmas. I wanted to have it on sale by the middle of November, just because I thought that was a great time to launch a product. And so in between basically the beginning of October and the beginning of November, I made the cookbook, designed it, tested all the recipes in it, worked with 30 different food professionals from countries around the world to make sure that all of the recipes I were putting in the book were approved by them, that they were great representations of their country. So I really hustled that one out, but I did get it on sale by the middle of November so that people could buy it as Christmas gifts, and it worked out well.
That's awesome. So I know we touched a little bit upon like the different ways that you serve your clients and you work with them. Is there anything additional that you want to touch on, or maybe even something that you might be working on that you're doing to help support the clients that you work with?
Yes. So just as a recap, my business kind of has two halves to it. The one half of it is that I put content on my website, and that is for people that are just browsing on the internet that are looking for a recipe. My recipe could come up on Google or on Pinterest. They can pull it up and then cook based off of that recipe. That is free to anyone that wants to use it. The way that I make money off of that is by display ads. So I work with an ad agency that puts ads on my website. And every time I get a reader that scrolls by an ad, I get paid for that reader. So that is one, it's not a client because they don't pay, but that's quote unquote some of the people that I'm helping on that side. And then the other side is that I do recipe development, food photography, and videography for other brands and sometimes other bloggers, although I haven't done that much this year. I've been trying to focus more on my website and then working with brands as well. So for brands, I will do sponsorships and make content for them to put on my social media to promote their products. Or if they want me to do recipe development, food photography for them, I will as well, for them to put on their website. So that has more or less stayed the same, although I do have a project that's launching. By the time this podcast comes out, it will have already launched. Mm-hmm. And I'm actually starting a sister site or another website for the foreign fork. And it is going to be called the Domestic Spoon, basically the opposite of the foreign fork. Yes. So I adore cooking recipes from around the world, but I also cook a lot of things in my kitchen just for fun that have never had a place on the foreign fork, because the foreign fork is only global foods from around the world. And sometimes I'll just make cupcakes or something a little bit more homegrown that never finds its way onto the foreign fork. And so I've started also the Domestic Spoon, which will be a second blog that will be for all recipes that are not touched by like the global topic, just some fun appetizers or snacks or desserts that are made in American kitchens. Those will be on the Domestic Spoon.
Nice. I absolutely love that and excited about getting that launched and what that's going to look like. So what would you consider, you might have already touched on this, your secret sauce? It could be for yourself, your brands, or a combination of both, but what do you feel sets you apart and makes you unique?
So as a food blogger, specifically a food blogger that's cooking food from around the world, I did talk last time about how I think most of my secret sauce comes from the care and attention that goes into making sure I'm representing countries accurately, because that is something that is hugely important for my niche and for my business. I would say that is one half of my secret sauce, and that's what we talked about on the last podcast. But I think the other part that is really been vital to my success is just the fact that I have a lot of grit and a lot of perseverance. Having grit is really, really important to keep yourself pushing. And there are a lot of people that I have seen come in and out of the food space that were so talented. They had better photography than me. They had better videography than me. They had recipes that looked incredible, and they had opportunities to be so successful, but they didn't quite have the same follow through. And in the end, the follow through is always what keeps someone being successful.
Nice. I absolutely love that. So I wanted to switch gears a little bit, and I want to ask you for what I call a CEO hack. So this could be like an app, a book, or even a habit that you have. But what's something that makes you more effective and efficient?
Yes. Okay. This is something that probably is very intuitive to a lot of people. And so it might sound like a silly hack for some, but it's something that I've started doing this year. So if it helped me, hopefully it will help someone else as well. But this year I have started building out my days based off of tasks. So my day-to-day can look very different depending on what I'm doing. I could be recipe developing in the kitchen. I could be photographing and doing video a day. I could be doing social media, writing emails, managing employees. There's a lot that kind of, it's all very different from each other, all the things that take to run a food blog. And so prior to this year, I would always just do what felt like it needed to get done that day. And so sometimes that meant going from being in the kitchen to then recipe testing to then going into a meeting and then doing my hair so I could be on social media and then going back and forth. And so this year I have built out the days where Mondays are my admin days, Tuesdays are my recipe test days, Wednesdays are my photography days. And it really helps to not have to be code switching in the middle of the day. It helps me be more effective. And so I'm sure that that is very intuitive to a lot of people, but it took me a long time to figure out, but I do feel like I get a lot more done in a week now when each day has a theme for what needs to get done. And I just repeat that every single week.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. So what would you consider to be what I call a CEO nugget? A little bit more word of wisdom or piece of advice. I like to say it might be something you would tell your favorite client, or if you happen to a time machine, you might tell your younger business self.
Yes. So one of my favorite things that I have done for myself as an entrepreneur over the last couple of years is actually something that I did not come up with. It's something that my husband encouraged me to do back when we were still dating. And at the time, I was putting in so much work. And at the time, the Foreign Fork was not my full-time job. So I was doing a lot of work on nights and weekends, and I was putting so much time and energy into this business, and it hadn't turned a profit yet. And I was just feeling so down and out about the whole thing. I've spent like a year and a half on this, and I, you know what I mean? It still isn't quite keeping up with what I want it to be. And so at the time, my now husband had encouraged me to start a notebook where every time something good happened in the business, write it down. And that way I could have on the days that I was feeling really down, I could open up that notebook and go back and look at all of the wins that I had accomplished over time and just give me a little bit of fuel to my flame when I was feeling down and out. And so to this day, I still have that notebook and I still write in it. And it's not every day, but it's once a month, something awesome might happen, and I write it down in there. And a couple of weeks ago, I hadn't used it in a long time in terms of looking back on it, because I'd been feeling pretty good about my business. But a couple of weeks ago, I was feeling down. And so I went and flipped through and started looking at some of the things that I had written in there in 2018, 2019, and some of the numbers that I was excited about for an entire month, I have in a day now. And it's really easy to lose that perspective and kind of forget where you started, where you're in the throes of trying to keep your business running and keep it moving forward. But having that notebook that I've had for 5 years now and looking back on where I had started and where I am now, it definitely fixed my cranky mood. So I highly recommend that for any entrepreneur. Keep a notebook of your wins.
Nice. I love that. So now I wanted to ask you my absolute favorite question, which is the definition of what it means to be a CEO. Our goal is to have different quote-unquote CEOs on the show. So Alexandria, what does being a CEO mean to you?
I think being a CEO always means something different to me, but I think this year being a CEO to me has meant being a visionary and looking ahead into the future. There are a lot of arms of my business, and as my business has continued to grow, it's sprouted more arms. There's more things there's more directions that my business could go, or there's more things that need to get handled. And so being a CEO this year meant for me hiring people to manage those day-to-day things, and then using my perspective and my experience and my strengths to figure out where I want the business to go, look into the future, decide what I want the Foreign Fork to focus on, decide maybe that I want the Domestic Spoon as well, those kinds of things, just so that you can keep your business pushing forward in the right direction. So for me this year, it's been being a visionary and being the one to lead the pack.
Yeah, that makes so much sense, Alexandria. I truly appreciate that definition. Of course, I appreciate your time even more. So what I want to do now is pass you the mic, so to speak, just to see if there's anything additional that you can let our readers and listeners know. And of course, how best they can get hold of you, get a copy of your book, and find out about all the awesome things that you're working on.
Yes, of course. Thank you so much for having me. If anybody listening wants to learn more about cooking food from around the world, you can go to foreignfork.com. Foreignfork.com is where all of my recipes are hosted. You can also find a link to my cookbook there. And I'm on social media at The Foreign Fork on Instagram, TikTok, Pinterest, Facebook, YouTube, all of that. And again, by the time this podcast launched, I will also have a domesticspoon.com, and that will be just everyday desserts and dinners for you to make. So feel free to check that one out too.
Nice, nice, nice. Super excited about all the awesome things you're working on. So thank you so much, yeah. Alexandria, and all the awesome things you're doing, your time today. And I hope you have a phenomenal rest of the day.
Thank you so much for having me. It was so much fun, and I really appreciate it. And I hope you have a great day, too.
Thank you for listening to the I Am CEO podcast, powered by CB Nation and Blue 16 Media. Tune in next time and visit us at imceo.co. I Am CEO is not just a phrase, it's a community. Check out the latest and greatest apps, books, and habits to level up your business at ceohacks.co. This has been the I Am CEO podcast with Gresham Harkless Jr. Thank you for listening.